When I started teaching Ulysses as a doctoral student in my mid-20s, I was just a few years older than the 22-year-old Stephen Dedalus. Now, at 44, I'm 6 years older than its other main protagonist, Leopold Bloom. The age gap between the two men is central to the basic plot of Ulysses, a very simple story. A talented but clueless young man, Stephen Dedalus, is abandoned by his friends during an unhappy drinking binge. He runs into an acquaintance of his father's, Leopold Bloom, who takes Stephen back to his house to sober him up and have a chat. We know nothing about what happens to the characters after this encounter. The novel opens and closes with that one day, 16th of June 1904. As the Irish expression goes, Ní lá nach lá dár saol, all it is a day in the life. Joyce's novel hints that Stephen is somehow in need of a father, while Bloom is looking for a son. What does this mean? In a literal sense, Bloom is already a father. Although his son died in infancy, he has a daughter. And while Stephen is traumatised by the recent death of his mother, his father, Simon Dedalus, is very much alive. Simon Dedalus is in a way one of the villains of Ulysses, a vainglorious, self-centred lout who spends his time carousing with his cronies while his hungry children boil shoe leather for soup. But the novel is also saturated with them. His singing voice bewitches the whole company in the Ormond Hotel, and his quick wit and sparkling vernacular energy give the novel much of its humour and tone. He may be, as Stephen says about him in a portrait, a bankrupt, a praiser of his own past, but the attention devoted to Simon Dedalus in Ulysses, to his songs, turns of phrase, to his ability to tell a story, betrays a deep, loving fascination on Joyce's part with the world of his own Cork father. No matter what kind of father you have, parents contain the mystery of our own origins, and their world before they had children is often a source of special, magical curiosity for their offspring. You see this especially in people whose parents are dead or far away. As my father would have said, people say, trying to find a way to make the lost or absent parent speak again. When I think of my own father, mercifully as different from Simon Dedalus as it is possible to imagine, his boyhood, playing cowboys and Indians on the banks of the Suck in the 1950s, seems to me a sort of enchanted landscape. Now that my own childhood, on a housing estate in the 1980s, begins to take on increasingly sepia tones, I find myself ever more aware that since I do not have children, no one will ever have that kind of fascination for my early life. My memories of Tip the Can and BMXs and cola bottles will pass away with me, unscrutinised and uncelebrated by any son or daughter. I feel no tragic regret at not having children, but I do notice that my daily emotional life is increasingly haunted by the ghost of the father I will never be. In teaching, for example, many versions of the overwhelming feelings parents must have for their children project themselves onto my students. I find myself terrified by their vulnerability in what seems like a harsh world. I feel envious of their youthful energy and afraid that it will find me aged and irrelevant. I am overcome with curiosity and concern as to what they will become in the world after my classroom. In my semester-long course in Ulysses, by the time Stephen and Bloom finally meet and talk over cocoa in Eccles Street, the students, someone else's daughters and sons, are getting ready for the summer. Most of them, when they walk out of the classroom, will also walk out of my life, forever. And, as I get older, I feel ashamed of the intensity of the melancholy this departure incites in me. It feels very childless, a pale, pitiful substitute for the great adventure of parental love. A kind of mourning by a mind, or even body, that is surprised not to find itself a parent at 44. After their conversation in the kitchen, Stephen refuses Bloom's offer of a bed for the night, and he steps out into the dawn, never to be seen again, at least not by us, the readers. That one day is all we will ever know of the characters. The meaning of the encounter between the younger man and the older man resides entirely in the passing impulses and instincts that, however briefly, bound them to one another on the 16th of June. What I take from the meeting between Bloom and Stephen is that parenthood is not only a long-term investment that will ultimately offer emotional payoff. It can also express itself as a short-lived, ephemeral flow of feeling from the older to the younger, a passing desire to protect or connect, to open the door and offer respite to those who have lost their networks of comfort and support, those who need temporary material or psychological refuge, to those who are orphaned in all the many ways that this is possible in an unequal, war-torn world. These feelings for other people's children, as it were, may not be merely substitutes for the real thing, but something rich and even valuable, even if they only flare up briefly, even if Nilan Achlo Dorsil.